welcome to Kingwood United Methodist Church. Thank you for joining us today. Wherever you're listening from and whatever service you're listening to, we strongly believe because of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, there is always more to life.
Morning. Good to be with y'all here today. Thank you for being here even on your break. Really glad to be here with y'all. My name's Pastor Jeremy. For those of y'all who don't know me, I met a lot of new people in the first service, and so I'm assuming that there's new people here in this service, so it's good to be here with y'all this morning. Before we get started, I just want to open up with a word of prayer real quick, if y'all would bow your heads. Lord, open our hearts. Lord, soften our hearts like butter. Lord, let our hearts be like softened butter to just hear the words that you want us to hear, to receive what you want us to receive, and I just bind spirits that are not of you. Lord, let nothing but your Holy Spirit reign in this place, or just let your anointing oil just pour over us today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Well, it's a good thing Clint isn't here on Super Bowl Sunday, as he is a diehard Chiefs fan. I'm assuming they're going to win, and I don't think I could handle him strutting around the office this week with that sort of arrogance that comes from being Patrick Mahomes as your quarterback. So I'm really glad that he's gone. I was in undergrad when Kansas City won the World Series, and that was unbearable because they were right near us. And so I'm really glad that Clint's not going to be here, especially considering how terrible we are. So it's good to be here with you this morning. We are nearing the end of our sermon series called Duke and Altoom. It's looking at that passage in Matthew 5 when Jesus calls Peter and he says, go put out into deeper waters. Go put out into the deep and cast your nets out again. And then when Peter goes and casts his nets out and he pulls up that where there was once desolation, he brings up abundant harvest. And the nets begin to break. And so as we look today, we're looking at these membership vows that we make when we join the church. If you don't know or not, when you join the church, you say you'll support the church by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness. And today we're looking at gifts, supporting the church with your gifts. And so what does it look like in this season of our church to go deeper into our spiritual gifts and our financial gifts, to go deeper into gifts? Oftentimes we think that gifts are sort of this either or, that it's either financial or spiritual. But we see in scripture is instead it's not an either or, but a both and. That's this joined together, that giving gifts to the church is a both and. It's this idea of just giving ourselves, giving of our very selves to the church. And giving of ourselves means giving of our gifts as well. And so today, we're going to be looking at that deeper. If you have your Bibles and you want to open up to 1 Corinthians 12, that's going to be the primary guiding passage for today. 1 Corinthians 12. And so before I get into 1 Corinthians, I want to just look at are we going to go deeper? How will we go deeper as a church into our giftings? And the first is to just recognize that we all have gifts. That we all have gifts, that we have something to offer. Scripture tells us that if you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, you can only do so by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And so we as Christians, we as confessing believers of the Lord Jesus Christ, have the Holy Spirit within us. And if we have the Holy Spirit of God within us, that means that we have then been gifted by that same God, empowered by that same God, to do the work and ministry of the church. Joel says this in chapter 2, verse 28. In the Old Testament, the prophet Joel says this about what will happen in the days to come in the church era of the story of salvation. It says this, and afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. In the days of the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was reserved for kind of the upper echelon, the super spiritual, the, the people who have stories written about them, was who the Holy Spirit came upon and empowered. People like David, Moses, Abraham, the spiritual greats of the Old Testament was who the Holy Spirit came upon. But now, after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and after the ascension of our Lord, he sends down the Holy Spirit upon all of us, not just on people like me, but on all of us, on all of you, that we all have the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, that the Spirit is given to all people. And I love that Joel passage, even servants, even slaves, even people that you think aren't worthy of my Spirit, I give my Holy Spirit to. And so as we look at this passage in Corinthians, let's just examine first ourselves, that we are vessels of this Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit has come upon us, and that this is not something that we have to do by ourselves, but that we are empowered by God to do. So looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, looking at verses 7 through 14 right now, it says this: "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kind of tongues, and to another interpretation of tongues. All of these are the work of the one and same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free, we are all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many." I love this image here that Paul is writing. And he's saying, the body of Christ, that the church of Jesus Christ is like a literal body. It's like a literal body where there are many different parts that make up the larger body. And so when we talk about gifts, we're looking at this imagery that Paul uses, that there is diversity within the body. There is diversity of gifts within the body, that I don't have every spiritual gift of the Spirit. Spoiler alert, you have gifts as well. That I can't do this all by myself. That the ministry that God has called Kingwood United Methodist Church to do, I cannot do by myself, because God won't let me do it by myself. Because he doesn't want me to do it by myself. What he wants us to do is to do the ministry of God that he has called us to do, that he has called each and every one of us to be a participant in. That we, as our congregation, if we're going to impact this community around us, if we're going to be a light, a gospel shining light to those around us, to our neighbors, to our friends, to our coworkers, then we have to recognize, first of all, that we have been gifted by the Holy Spirit. That we have the Holy Spirit, and we have been gifted by the Holy Spirit. That there is diversity within us, that there is diversity of gifts, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing. And that there's no such thing as a better or worse gift, but that we've just been gifted differently. Because just like a literal body needs the whole part of it to work, you know, the stomach is not the small intestine. The hand is not the foot. The head is not the arm. You can't have a body that's just arms. You can't have a body that's just feet. That doesn't make any sense. To have a true body, you have to have all the different parts working together. Because if even one part is missing, the body won't function. If in the digestive tract, if you don't have one part, the whole thing falls apart. And so when we, as a body of Christ in Kingwood United Methodist Church, we have been gifted by the Holy Spirit. And so to go deeper into our gifts means to first recognize that we ourselves have been gifted. going on to this analogy that Paul gives, looking at verse 21 in Corinthians, he says this, "The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I don't need you,' and the head cannot say to the feet, 'I don't need you.' On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable are treated with special honor, and the parts that are unrepresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for one another." And catch this, "If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it." That there's this mutuality within the body of Christ, and that there's no such thing as a bad gift of the Spirit. Hear this again, there's no such thing as a bad gift of the Spirit. And to kind of illustrate this point, I'm a PK, I'm a pastor's kid, for those of y'all who didn't know that. So I'm used to my dad having kind of those more forward gifts, those like presentable gifts, as Paul is pointing out. You know, he stands up there preaching every Sunday. I see him leading the church. I see all those gifts. And my mom doesn't necessarily have those gifts, but she does have different spiritual gifts. One of her spiritual gifts is the gift of hospitality and generosity, especially hospitality. My mom has that gift of hospitality given to her by God. And so we think that those are bad gifts, or that they're not as good as those presentable gifts like teaching or prophecy or kind of these more showy gifts. Well, here's a story of my mom and how she used her gift for God's kingdom. We were in a Mission Bend United Methodist Church. I was in second grade, which still don't know how old that is. Maybe 10 years old, maybe 11. I'm sure I'll figure it out, but I was around second grade. Seven? Close enough. I was pretty close. Seven? Eight? I'm grateful for y'all. See, this is why we need each other, because I don't know ages, and y'all do. So my mom has this gift of generosity and hospitality, and so I'm around in second grade, and there's a knock on the door, and it's one of those like classic rainy Houston days where it's just like pouring cats and dogs outside. And so we're thinking, who could possibly be coming to the door at like 8 o'clock at night when it's pouring down rain? And we open the door, and we see that it's this teenager from our youth group. And he lived in the same neighborhood as Dad, and he's like bawling his eyes out. He's just so devastated, so hurt. And he's just like sobbing, and in between his sobs, we just hear him catch his breath and say, like, "My parents are fighting again, and they just won't stop." And so my mom just immediately invites him in, shoos me off to my room, invites me in, sits him down at our table, hugs him, loves on him, meets with him, shows him hospitality, shows him love, cares for him, and loves for him. And I don't know what the fruit that was born from that, because oftentimes I don't think we ever see the fruit of using our gifts. But I do know that when that young teenager left, he left knowing that God saw him, that God loved him, and that he had people there who cared for him and loved him, and that when he felt like he couldn't escape the argumentative house of his parents, they could run into the arms of the body of Christ and people would cherish him, care for him, and nurture him. That there is no such thing as a mediocre gift, because we don't serve a mediocre God, and he doesn't give mediocre things.
Thanks again for joining us for today's message. We will return to the sermon in a moment, but first, we would like to ask for you to rate, share, and subscribe to our podcast. We believe God is doing some amazing things here at KUMC, and your feedback helps our church to reach new listeners that we wouldn't otherwise be able to reach. Now, let's get back to the Word.
We all have gifts. We all have these spiritual gifts, and we also all have these financial gifts as well. Paul writes about this in 2 Corinthians, talking about getting a collection for the church He says this in 2 Corinthians 8, 1. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given to the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. And skipping down to verse 7, but since you, Corinthians, excel in everything, in faith, speech, knowledge, and complete earnestness, and in love that we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. I love the way that Paul frames this here, that the Macedonian churches, they gave out of their love. That they gave out of their love, and that this idea that giving, speaking financially, is a grace of God. That just as we give out of our spiritual gifts through God's grace, giving of our financial gifts as well is also the grace of God moving and working in our lives. It's a grace of God that this giving of gifts is not an either or, it's a both and. It's this giving of ourselves that through the grace of God, we are able to give fully of ourselves, not give part of ourselves, not just give part of who we are, but all of ourselves, all of our spiritual gifts, all of our financial gifts. That's the heart of the Lord moving and working in our midst. To illustrate Paul's point here, the church I went to in Lexington, that's near and dear to my heart, it was a recovery church. So you had people who were kind of on the lower end of the socioeconomic status. And I remember there was this homeless man that came, and our church was doing this... I don't know what we were raising money for. We were raising money for something. And they had all these envelopes out in the lobby from 1 to 100. And you would basically pick the envelope number, and that's what you would fill it with money, and you would bring it into the altar the next Sunday. And there was this one homeless gentleman who wanted to be a part of the body of Christ, who wanted to be a part of the church. And so he took the 75 envelope. And people were talking to him after the service when he had taken the 75. He was like, you know, you really can't fill this. You know, you don't have a job. There's really no way that you can fill this. Why don't you take kind of the lower one? Why don't you take the $5 or the $10 one? And he said, no, I want to do the $75 one. I want to do this because of my love for God and my love for the church. And so he worked odd jobs. He gathered loose change and he asked for money, and he gathered it, and he was able to get his $75 together. And he went, and he laid that at the altar of the Lord. Because to him, even though society looked at him and said, you have nothing to give, our Lord looks at him and says, you are a part of my body. You are a part of me, and that means that you can give. It means that you're a part of us, that you belong to me. And so we all have gifts. We all have gifts that we can use. And so then if we all have gifts, what next? If we all have gifts, what next? God wants us to use our gifts. God wants us to use our gifts. Going back to 1 Corinthians in verse 27, it says this. Now you are the body of Christ. And each one of you has a part in it. And God has placed in the church first apostles, then prophets, then teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Then he asks these rhetorical questions. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? And the implication behind each of these questions is no, no, no. No, we can't all prophesy. No, we can't all speak in tongues. No, we can't all teach. But God has called you to do one of those things. That God has given you gifts to use, that even though you can't do everything, you can do something with the kingdom of God. Later in, or earlier in Romans, Paul says this in verse 12, we have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If your gift is serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. And if it is to show mercy, do so cheerfully. That we all have been given gifts by God to use. And Paul exhorts his congregation, use what God has given you to do. That going deeper into these membership vows, to go out into deeper waters, it means to step out in faith, trusting that God has given you gifts and that God wants you to use those gifts, that God wants to use us to work alongside us in building up his kingdom. Using God's gifts is an invitation to adventure. It's an invitation to adventure with him, to go and have fun with him. There's this one book that I love called Everyday Supernatural by Mike Pilavachi. And in this book, he writes, he titles the chapter on spiritual gifts, everyone gets to play. And I just love that image that he puts, that the spiritual gifts is playing with God, that it's using these gifts that he's given us to do the kingdom work. And what I find when I use my gifts is I come alive. I come alive when I get to work with God and be in ministry alongside him. I love doing this. I love praying for healing with people. I love showing mercy. I love giving words of knowledge. I love to work with the Lord in doing the ministry that he's called me to do. And he's called me to use my gifts. He doesn't call me to be Chris. He doesn't call me to be Bert. He doesn't call me to be John Wayne. He calls me to be Jeremy. And that means that my gifts are different than someone else's. And that's okay. And your gifts are different than mine. My gifts are different than Erica. Your gifts may be different than the person sitting right next to you. And that's okay. God just wants you to be fully how he created you to be. And that's what the calling is on our lives. That's what the calling of God is on our lives. Too many times I think that we get this idea that, too many times I think our spiritual gifts, it's like getting a present from our parents on Christmas morning. And we get it and we say, thank you. And then we take it and we put it over here and set it aside. We don't even open it, which is just a crazy thing for a kid to do. When a kid gets a gift on Christmas morning, they're trying to open it before the parents are even awake. They're like shaking it. I have to figure out what's in this. I really need to figure out this gift. But too many times when God gives us these gifts, we just set it aside. We don't open it. We don't rip off the paper and see, what is this? What has God given to me? And so what if instead we open those gifts that God is giving to us? What if we didn't set aside the gift, but we take it, we open it with the excitement of a child on Christmas morning? It's important to use the gifts that God has given us, even if we don't think that it's a lot, because one, that's not true, and two, because God cares about your heart in using gifts. God cares about your heart in using gifts. And so we also give our spiritual gifts, but also our financial gifts as well. That giving financially, fundamentally, is not about money. It's not fundamentally about money. It's about where does money sit in the priority of your heart. That's what Jesus was concerned about. Every time Jesus talks about money, his concern is not the actual money itself, about where is its position in your heart? Is it number one, or is it below God? And giving financially is this tangible statement to say, I put God first in every aspect of my life, even my finances. And so when we give out of that heart of where are our priorities. To illustrate this a bit, when me and Erica were in seminary, I was a full-time student and she was working full-time. But being a full-time student, as many of you probably know, it's hard to juggle finances as a full-time student. And even though in human understanding, it would have made a lot more sense for us to not give anything to the church because we didn't have a lot to offer. But me and Erica felt like it was important for us to make giving to the church, to make giving back to the Lord, all that he has given to us, a priority in our lives, even when we didn't have, even when it felt like we had little. But what was interesting, though, is that we always had what we need. We always had what we needed. The Lord always provided for us. The Lord always gave us exactly what we needed. Even when Erica dropped a knife on her foot and had to get surgery, and we had to add a surgery bill to that. That's a fun story to ask her later, by the way. Even when we had to add a surgery, so we're freaking out about this surgery, and we're thinking, we can barely make it as it is. What are we going to do? So we said, Lord, we're just going to trust you, and the Lord provided me with a job. And through that job, we were able to support and pay that bill, because our God is faithful. And when we give our priorities to him, when we put him first, he provides for our needs because of his love for us. And my point is this, that God blesses us to be a blessing to others, that God wants us to use our gifts, both spiritual and financial, even when it seems like we don't have enough to offer, we don't have a lot to offer, because that's a lie straight from the pit of hell. God wants us to use our gifts, both our spiritual and our financial. And so if you want to look up on the screen, I'm going to pull up the gifts list. So there's a few different lists of gifts in Scripture. Kendra, I know I skipped that. So if you want to just kind of peruse them, they're different gifts, but this is not an exhaustive list. Paul just kind of gives a few high points. I think there are other gifts that are not in Scripture, but that the Spirit gives us. I had a professor once tell me his spiritual gift was networking. And so I fully believed him. He was a great networker and he used it for the kingdom of God, but it's not on the list. And so if you want to go to the next slide then. So these are my gifts. And what I want you to notice is that my gifts, I don't have them all. So I have the gift of teaching, mercy, gift of emotional healing, gift of word of knowledge, and apostleship. Apostleship's just a fancy word for starting new things. And so those are my gifts. But God has not given me the gift of shepherding. God has not given me the gift of administration. There are plenty of gifts that the Lord has not given me. But there are gifts that he's given you. There are gifts that he has given you. And so if we are going to do this together as a community of faith, if we are going to be the church that God is calling for us to be, then we need to be a church that is humble enough to admit, I don't have all the gifts, but you do. To invite others to participate into the ministry that God is doing in our midst. And so how do we know what our gifts are? How can we learn what our gifts are? You may have been thinking that this whole service, this is great, Pastor Jeremy, but I don't know what my gifts are. Here are kind of a few ways you can learn your gifts. The first is to ask those around you. Ask those who know you best. Say, what do you think my gifts are? Oftentimes, it's easier to spot the gifts of others than to spot the gifts in ourselves. You can also pray and ask the Lord. So like there's a question mark beside discernment. That's because right now I'm trying to say, Lord, is this a gift that you've given me recently? I've been praying for discernment for about 2 years now because I felt like I didn't have it. And I feel like the Lord is maybe starting to show me I might. And so I'm praying, I'm discerning, Lord, is this the gift that you've given me? And so I'm asking those around me, I'm praying, Lord, is this the gift you've given me? And then we can also use inventories, gift inventories. So if you look around the space, you'll notice that they have QR codes. If you take a picture on your phone, it should take you to the link of the United Methodist Church's spiritual gifts inventory. So if you have never done one of these, I would encourage you to do it. It's not an end-all, be-all, so it's not like this is definitive the list, and if this is how it's going to be for the rest of my life. But it's a good starting place. If you have no idea where to start, it's a good starting spot. Or if you just kind of want a refresher, and you're like, you know, it's been a while since I've really reflected on what my gifts are, it's a good kind of moment to stop and reflect and take it. It takes about 10 minutes for you to complete it. So it's 80 questions. Don't be bothered by that. It takes about 10 minutes to complete it. And so you go through it and you ask someone, does this resonate with you? Do you think these are my gifts? Is this how you see me? And so we use these tools, we use these gifts. And so I would encourage you then to go deeper into this life that God is calling for us to do. Band and prayer team, if y'all want to come back up. To go deeper into our membership vows means that we acknowledge first that we have gifts, that we have something to offer, that God has not excluded us on the sidelines, but God is calling us to start today, calling us up from the minor leagues, calling us up from the sidelines, and saying, I want you to be a part of the work that I'm doing here at this church. And so maybe going deeper just means you learn what your gifts are. You learn what your gifts are. You using these inventories, using these tools, you just learn what they are. Maybe you know what your gifts are and you haven't stepped out in faith yet. You haven't stepped out of the boat. And God's calling you to do so.